Today's a particularly hot day in Haiti. It's midday. It's probably around 1:30 here at this time, at the time that I'm recording this. And speaking of finding a place of neither hot nor cold, we placed the laundry up on the roof to dry. And I made my way up here, and we have a solar panel up here that's charging our fan, because every other night here in Haiti we don't have heat, and we don't have electricity, and it's not guaranteed that we'll have electricity every other night either. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So solar panels, small solar panels, have become very useful here. Instead of waiting for the electricity to come on, you can there's certain things, like certain kinds of fans that you can buy. We bought this fan for $70 US, and it has a special battery in it that can be charged with a solar panel. And it's even though it remains hot, it's still nice to have some air blowing on you when it's not when there's no electricity in the apartment that we're living in. I want to talk more about this idea of hot and cold, and going to a place of neither hot nor cold, with regards to the subject of climate change. So far, this subject of neither hot nor cold, I've presented as something that practitioners of Buddhism need to consider, and also that we should do it in a way that involves us choosing to go to a place that is neither hot nor cold. Or another way of talking about it, if you go back a few episodes, is to consider the place of going to the places of extremes, extreme hot and cold, and allowing yourself to be overcome by them. But doing this as a choice, like we choose, for example, to come to Haiti. My wife's job brings us here, and I've chosen to be here for this time, for this limited period of time. But with climate change, it's no longer a choice, and it's no longer simply Buddhist practitioners that will be having to face these places of no hot nor cold, but all beings, all sentient beings, all human beings, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of political affiliation, we are facing extremes of heat and cold as we speak. And there's so much that we can do about it, yet because we remain largely in denial, particularly in the United States, and because gas and coal and oil industries have not been taking responsibility. United States government is one of the worst in terms of taking responsibility for climate change. And but there's so much we can do. One climatologist, Bill McKibben, writes in his book Earth, he talks about how in the future we're going to, the way to deal with climate change, if we survive it, is, he's predicting, as a climatologist, he's predicting that at least 50% of the Earth's species will be extinct. The ocean will have acidified to such an extent by the year 2050. That's probably within my lifetime. You know, I'll be almost 80 years old by 2050, if I'm still alive then. And the oceans will be so acidified that it won't support life anymore. So we're moving on some extremes here in Earth life. So how are we going to survive this? Bill McKibben suggests that we learn to become more local in our production, in our agriculture, developing relationships within our local communities, And what better place than Haiti to learn from with regards to dealing with local production? Here, everything is local. Almost everything. You can hear the dogs in the background there. Samson, the house where we're staying at, has three or four dogs here that get triggered to start barking for some reason throughout the day, and sometimes in the evening too, and so we have to deal with their barking. Anyways, so Haiti is an excellent example of some of the things I just mentioned with regards to use of solar panels. They're very good about being aware of limited resources, and they've learned to adapt and adjust to having very little. Like I mentioned, not being guaranteed to have electricity causes you to use anything with electricity very, very frugally, and taking advantage of solar power in order to charge things, not just fans, but phones and computers and other things like that. So solar panels are being taken really seriously here. What is one of the things that's most envious to me is how well developed the local community is here, that people actually know their neighbors. Everybody knows everybody else. Yesterday we went to a public beach and everybody knew Samson, and because he saw us with him, they knew that we were okay. And if any one of us, Samson said, if any one of us were to have gotten lost or separated from Samson, anybody at that beach would know where to take us and bring us back. So, I mean, local community, to be able to know who your neighbors are, to have conversations with them regularly. We barely, in the United States, in Ames, Iowa, we barely know the neighbors on either side of us. And so we can develop those relationships a little bit more, and develop local agriculture through, for example, through purchasing CSAs, supporting local farmers who are doing things like that. So all this to say is that we have to keep an eye out for the radical changes that are presently taking place in our climate, and learn how to adapt, learn how to adjust. Our sitting, our Zazen practice cannot afford to ignore climate change. We have to include that as part of our practice, to sit knowing that this is the world that we live in. This is the world that we live and breathe in. And so to keep that in our hearts, well, even while sitting, we don't have to consciously think about it to such an extent that we get overworked by it, but it's a helpful reminder for us to not remain idle in our practice. Yeah. Okay, thank you.